From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gwyneth Cheese Shawa, for joining the conversation. On today's show, the Ok Rock Indigenous Music Festival is here. It's happening this Thursday through Saturday, and it's jam-packed. We'll get the latest details. Scientist and storyteller Skylar Bear is here. Her book Uncharted is out, and she will have a signing and event this Thursday. And we'll chat with the Rock Dump about an awesome film they are hosting about female rock climbers, plus a survey they are doing about the Rock Dump's future. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
For over a century, Filipinos have shaped the community of Juno. But how did we get here? And why do we stay?
I'm just here to try and make sure that this organization, that effort that people put into making this community vibrant and what it is today, doesn't falter.
Listen to KTOO's new podcast for stories from Juno's Filipino community. Manga Cuento premieres October 6th. Find it at ktoo.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Rock Dump is a Juno staple. It's climbing walls, it's also hosted aerial events, and more. It is your community-owned, nonprofit indoor climbing gym. And Jess Brown and Aaron Hood are have two things to share, two very important things that are happening right now at the Rock Dump, an upcoming film and an important survey about the future of the facility. Gwyneth Cheese, for you both being here today, how's your Tuesday?
Well,
wow. Oh, wait a minute. I got to hang on 1 second there. There we go. Now we can hear Jess. Hi, Jess.
Thanks so much.
Okay, good. And Aaron, nice to see you.
Thank you.
Okay. Technical difficulties, live radio. We love it. Thank you for being here. And first up, I just want to have you tell a little bit about the Rock Dump, its history, what it is, and who's it for.
Certainly. So we are the local climbing gym in town. We're not the only one. There are a couple small ones here and there, but we're the main deal. We're located out in Thane, just a little bit past the main drag there, past the library. And we have been around for 20 years. It started as sort of a small business, and then the previous owner left town, and a group of us who love climbing, love the Rock Dump, got together to form a nonprofit to make sure we still have climbing in Juno.
Gotcha. Okay. So how long has it been going on?
About 20 years.
20 years?
20 years in total, yeah. The nonprofit has probably been around closer to 10 years now.
Okay. So the nonprofit runs the Rock Dump.
Yeah, so the nonprofit that we founded is called Juno Climbing and Recreation.
Okay.
And that's basically our mission, is just to provide, you know, indoor rock climbing and basically, you know, kind of skills and opportunity for recreation to the Juno community.
Okay, that's great. And you offer classes as well as opportunities for like open climb and things like that?
Absolutely. And we'll start to see some more offerings probably around the winter break for kiddos, camp sort of deals.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And nice. We work with various nonprofits in town, JYS, Zach Gordon Youth Center, UAS, and then also the Coast Guard. So
they like bring groups in and do things like that.
Yeah. Our mission really is community driven.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And are you still teaching the weekly women's class?
Not at the moment, but we'll see if that ends up happening in the fall, if I step back into that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Your bio is a lie.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, those young kids really get in the way.
Yeah. It happens. Children happen, right? That's for sure. Mm-hmm. It becomes a thing. Okay. So let's first talk about this film. Tell me a little bit about this film. I have a trailer that I want to play, but first tell me what the title of the film is, what it's about a little bit.
Yeah. The film is called Girls Gone Waco, and it's about five women who do this climbing trip to Waco Tanks in Texas, which is like a world-renowned bouldering location. And really, it's just about them kind of having fun and just kicking butt.
Good. Let's take a listen to the trailer because I think it's fun. I just want to point out that Waco sounds like Waco, Texas, which is not the same thing. Yes. This is H-E-U-C-O.
Correct.
And it has tanks at the end. And it's a big park. It's a giant area that people rock climb and do all kinds of things at.
Yeah.
It's not the infamous Waco, Texas. Yeah. But it sounds the same. So here's the trailer. Some of it's a little visual, but you'll get a sense of what it's about and kind of the fun of this film.
I was already planning to go to Waco, and I was like, man, it would be sick to have an all-women crew.
There's so many women boulders that are few and far between, and to get everybody in the same place is a treat.
Bunch of girls getting psyched, dominating an area, like that almost never happens to me.
Just see so many other people trying and wanting the same thing, I think is really motivating.
I think trying hard is made easier when you're around your friends.
Come on, I get it. Big. Yes.
Climbing is just challenging. Some days I wish I picked an easier sport.
Waco is like my favorite place in the world. It's so magical. You'll see when you get there.
Okay. That sounds like a really fun, sort of awesome journey. Like it just seems like five women having a great time, challenging each other, helping each other, pushing each other. And also sort of highlighting, because I think the description for the film says, you know, women kicking butt, right? And like showing that it's not just men who are rock climbing, right?
Yeah. There's sort of a joke in the climbing world that most of the climbing films that we see are usually about men, and some of the women are just sort of, you know, girlfriends or supporting roles. So this is pretty unique to actually see a crew of all women. And as a female climber, when I go to Crags, it's pretty rare that I see like a group of just women climbing myself. So I can attest to the reality of that. Yeah.
That's really cool. So how did the, it's on a tour. This film is touring around and Juneau is one of the first stops, but how did it come about that they are having this film come to Juneau, and give us the times and details about when we can watch this film? Is there a talk back or anything?
Sure. So our manager, Jesse Palomino, pursued it. He's a huge advocate for just getting more people in the gym and really just making climbing accessible to everyone because he loves it so much. So he pursued it, got him to get the film at our gym, and it'll be taking place this Saturday. So it starts at, doors open at 7, and we'll have a little chat beforehand, and it's $10 if you purchase your ticket beforehand and $15 at the door.
Okay, and how do you get a ticket beforehand?
I believe just at the Rock Dump.
Just go to the Rock Dump website and they'll be there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we just want to make sure that's rockdump.com. Great website, right? you can also, if you want to see more about the film itself or the climbers involved, they have like bios for these folks, all kinds of stuff. It's girlsgonewaco.com. And Waco is spelled H-U-E-C-O. So it's girlsgonewaco.com. You can go and find out a little bit more about the film, where else it's playing, if you got friends down in the States or somewhere else that might push them to go see the film as well. It's just a great thing to get out there. And is this sort of a little bit of a fundraiser for y'all, kind of?
Yeah, it is a bit of a fundraiser. So in addition to showing the film, we'll be talking about a survey that we're doing that is actually live right now. And that is to help us determine sort of the future of the rock dump. And our dream is to build a bigger, better facility, basically. And proceeds will go towards those efforts. And we're just at the beginning of that journey. So we're really excited about it.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about this survey. I know we want to chat about that. It's got like great questions on it, like where do you live? What's your age? Are you interested in, you know, climbing? Will you climb? Do you have a recurring membership at the Rock Dump? Those kinds of things. So like, what is the, it's not very long. Like it won't take you but a few minutes to do the survey, right? And I, so what's the intent of the survey? I know it's to figure out the future, but what are you, what kind of information are you looking for?
Yeah, so the background is that our facility is getting old, right? Mm-hmm. It's over 20 years old. And if you have a chance to travel outside of Juneau and you go to sort of modern rock climbing gyms, they look a lot different than what we have. Our facility is also located out Thane, which is not the easiest place to get to, which makes it less accessible community-wide. We also don't own the building. And so we're renting from the Alaska Coach Company, who's been very generous about allowing us to stay there. But our ultimate goal is to get our own facility and really develop a new indoor climbing facility that would hopefully have other things like weights and yoga and stuff that would be another great recreational facility for the community, also make rock climbing more accessible so we can get more kids and school groups in there. And so the purpose of this survey is really just to help shape that progression, right? We want to know where people are coming from, what parts of the gym do they use the most, what do they like about it? What do they not like about it? And sort of help us with this visioning process of like, well, where, if we build a new gym, where should we put it? What are the main components we should focus on? And that sort of thing. So that's really the goal of the survey, is getting as much community input as we can to help us develop this vision of a new rock climbing gym in Juneau.
Is this a longer term idea? Like, is this years down the line?
Yeah, hopefully not too long term, but I think definitely. I mean, the city was very generous and gave us some funding to help with, you know, getting some consultants and getting a design together. We're going to probably kick off a big fundraising push in the next months to kind of get going towards fundraising. And so I'd say it's like, I don't know. I like to think about it as not as relatively near term, but certainly by the time we get through the whole process, it would be at least a couple of years.
Right. And so I know that one of the things is location. Yeah. Are you already sort of scouting different options? I know we don't want to give anything away, but are there options that you've been looking at? Because you need like a pretty good amount of space, right? A good footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more, even more important than a footprint is probably the height of a building. So, you know, if we want people to climb on ropes, we got to give them the space to do that.
So are you looking to like potentially acquire an already existing building, or are you looking to probably
would build our own dedicated building, ideally. One of the things we've been doing is just exploring with the city, you know, the Parks and Rec land that they have, that they could potentially lease us land because we're developing a new recreational facility, so it meets the intention of those lands that they manage. So we've looked at a couple parcels they manage, and you know, as I said, just looking for something that's more centrally located that'll make it easier for more people to get to, and also hopefully someplace where kids could pretty easily walk to it after school, and you know, really get more use from young people, because right now at Thane, it's just a challenging place to get to, particularly in the winter.
Right. For sure.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That is for sure. So that is awesome. That sounds like a really good plan. It looks like something, a good future for the Rock Dump. It's not going anywhere. It looks like it wants to find a more permanent location, which is awesome. And also I want to remind folks about the film Girls Gone Waco, which is happening this Saturday, the 23rd. And you said it starts at 7 o'clock, doors open at 6. You'll find out a little bit more about the survey. In the meantime, how do we take the survey now?
If you go to rockdump.com, it'll just pop up and say, please take our survey.
Oh, so okay,
there's a pop-up
yeah.
window, so you can just go right there. There's a QR code if you go to the gym,
okay.
too, that you can scan. But yeah, it's right on the website. And we've already had, I think, over 150 people take it. So there's been pretty good response.
Oh, that's
we'd
great.
Love to get more, as much input as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll link it on the webpage for this show today as well. It is a long sort of, it's a Google form. So those links are never easy to say on the air. But if you do go to rockdump.com and you just wait a second, the pop-up does flash up and says, please take the survey. And like I said, it'll only take you a couple minutes. So Aaron and Jess from the Rock Dump, thanks for coming in and telling us all about the survey and the film coming up this week.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
Awesome. Up next, Ok Rock is here. We'll be back with some more information and detail on this upcoming Indigenous Music Festival, the only one in the United States.
Never forgetting the memories, every entity generates energy. Better be working together instead of us separately. Never than everything, we chop it wide enough for the treasure. We spread it out, love to our enemies. Comes with integrity, summon the melody. Humming is therapy, love is the recipe, drug and the remedy. Sharpen delivery, drop it out heavily. Chopping heads will be popping, steadily rocking forever, wherever we are. Carefully cherish our love for the art. A couple of bars, law for the charity, not for the currency. Mentally calm with clarity, wearing my armor. Cutting off jealousy, offer sincerity. I'm drawn to longevity under the sun. Remember when it was all just for fun. Whether it's tables, waitering, paper, no labeling, arranging the breaks in a couple with drums, the flavor is savory, cadence is catering, but no fakery, ranging from A to Z, maybe it's maple, he make up his maple, he's raising the wages of double and nine, running through shadows, humble with travel, coming on up, up from under the gravel, bundles of ammo, from hundreds of battles, arrows and shields, puts a drum in the rattle, wearing all black. Yeah, so nothing's bedazzled. Cover my tracks, we'll mumble my raps through hundreds of hassles. My wonderful man, crumble the castles. Up in the gallows, shovels and axles, duck with the samples. Cultivate, I'm in my sober state, I know no hate. Let us grow, the flood away, the roast to roll the J. Under the solar rays, yoga flame on the rope, in the open lane. Make the most of day, though, the load of rainbows. I'm giving thanks for the time, flowing old and gray. But the soul is no decay, I'm offering dream trails in case you woke up late. What if I'm so potent enough to cut you open? And Cupid is the couple's culprit. From the rush and clutch the moment. Double dose on the drug you cope with. Mix it up the potion in a cup of cauldron. Weaving through this mess while the rugs get woven. Above the stove with my broken heart and my arms are open. Yeah, we go to part, but still we're going far. On this map with throwing darts. Running through shadows. Humble with travel. Coming on up. Up from under the gravel. Bundles of ammo, from hundreds of battles, arrows and shields, puts a drum in the rattle, wearing all black, yeah, so nothing's bedazzled. Cover my tracks, we'll mumble my raps through hundreds of hassles. My wonderful man, crumbling castles, up in the gallows, shovels and axles, duck with the samples.
That is Def Eye, one of the artists coming to the Indigenous Music Festival called Ok Rock, which is kicking off on Thursday night. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Okquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tlingit Ani is also the home to the only Indigenous Music Festival in the United States, and it's happening this week. After all the preparations and announcements of amazing headliners like Snotty Nose Red Kids and Hallucination, the festival kicks off this Thursday and runs for 3 days. There are two different stages, open jams, and so much more. It's a festival, y'all. And today we are fortunate to have the leadership of the festival here to give us a final preview. So there's a few people in the room, which is great. I love the festival atmosphere already happening. I love it. I love it. So what I want to do is I just figure we could go down the line. We'll start over here. If you can just Tell us who you are. We know some of you, and we've had you on the show before, but it's just easier to do it this way. Tell us who you are, what you're doing for the festival, and that way we can get everybody on the air.
All right. Jamai, everyone. This is Kachung. I'm the creative director for Ok Rock. Next to me is...
Hi, my name is Derek Hawkes. I am the show director for Ok Rock.
See, we got cell phones going off. We got the business is happening right now.
Right, all right, we just hopping. Wasoy check at Johan. What's up, everyone? My name is Neshka Kuge, or my IRS name is Taja Revels, and I am the project director for Ok Rock.
I like that, the IRS name. Somebody else had done it as
airplane,
their like
airplane name
or right. Driver's license name, things like that.
I give credit to the original Neshka Kuge, my grandma, for coming up with that one.
I like that. I like that, the IRS name. And your IRS name?
Taylor Dallas Vittick, and I am the production director for the
Awesome.
Festival.
That is so great. And then I know we also have somebody else in the room. Kachung, will you tell us who else is in here?
Oh, okay. I'd be happy to. This Oliver, he's... You want to say quick hi real quick?
Yeah, just hop on one of these mics, Oliver.
Hey. I got a sweaty pulled camera on my shoulder. It's Oliver Bokelberg. I'm excited to just arrive yesterday in Juneau, and we're shooting a documentary on the Ok Rock Festival.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool to have a documentary being made of this festival. That is just so cool. Now, this is exciting, right? I mean, this is the second festival to happen. A couple years ago, it was done more virtually due to the pandemic. How exciting is it for y'all that this is happening live in person and that it's happening here on Klinkinani?
Goodness.
Where do we begin?
Yeah, we're like so in it right now. It's incredible. I was saying to Derek earlier, it is fascinating to realize the difference between the virtual festival that was held in November of 2021 compared to this in-person iteration where we have an audience and we have 100 volunteers, and we had 25 artists come to town last time, and now we have 75 artists. Just we have grown very quickly, and it's going to be such a big, exciting weekend.
That is so cool. Now, Derek, you said your role is show director. What does that mean?
So my role kind of entails helping out with ensuring a lot of the visual aspects and the audience facing aspects of the festival are cohesive and with the Ok Rock brand and how we want them to be. Also entails doing deciding who's playing where and when and a lot of those logistical pieces.
Right on. And then, Nefka, you've been working on this for a while. how does it feel to have it? I mean, it seems – here's what I felt like. Like a month ago, I was like, oh, yeah, Ok Rock's coming in September. I was saying that on the show and everything. And then all of a sudden, it's here. Like, it's just like, it just happened. Oh. Is it felt like that? Is it creeped up on you? Like,
like I'm so excited, but yeah. Also it's been watching everyone's hard work to come into this and working as a team. That's just been incredible to see and beautiful. I think it really hit me when I was laying on the floor this morning. Yeah. Laying on the floor of the Centennial, let's be clear. And I was looking up at this beautiful backdrop that Ursula Hudson did for us for our main stage. And just being overwhelmed with the sense of all of these incredible people who have come together to uplift Indigenous voices in music. And just sitting for a moment and trying to take it in before my phone started ringing again.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the energy around this it's just so exciting. Like, I think the town is ready for something like this. I think this is like, you know, it's also sort of, Glitz was last weekend at the Centennial Hall, but this is yet another one of the first big performances at Centennial Hall. But let's talk about that too. Let's talk about this schedule a little bit, because there's more than one venue. You're all over around here. And so I know we can talk about the schedule a little bit. I just want to point people to, you can go to okrockfest.com to see the full lineup, but let's talk about the schedule and the venue. So there's two venues, right? So we start out each day at, there's three venues really, because we also have the Jack, right? That's true. So we start out at EP Hall, Elizabeth Bratchevich Hall.
Correct.
Each day. Is that right? And
okay. Yeah, correct. Yeah, we start out at EP Hall, and then we have our evening shows and our headliners over at Centennial, and then we're going to be having a lounge open at the Jack that includes an open jam session led by one of the bands every single day.
Yeah, let's talk about that open jam for a minute, and then we're going to look at this schedule a bit. But I just, because one of the people in the room is going to be part of this open jam, Kachung with his band Bomuo is going to be on Friday night in this open lounge, and it's 21 plus for the lounge. We just want to mention that because there will be alcohol there, where the rest of the festival is open to anyone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this open, what does that mean, open jam? What are you going to be doing?
You know, It's a place where people can kind of still be in the festival, still be in the ground, still have that atmosphere, but be away from the big main stage if they want to come and jam out a little bit. So we have like curated portions of the night in the evening where it actually is like a chance to come and jump up, and we'll have some instruments up there and to be able to jam out. You know, I'm imagining some organic, just amazing magic being made by, because we have some amazing artists coming in, and a lot of them are been talking about collaborating and, you know, making music together. So I imagine it's going to be one of those places where you can witness magic that's like not, it's curated, but it's not really. It's right. Really hoping to have it be organic. It's also kind of loungy in the fact that we're not going to have seats like the traditional seats. We're going to have places where people can just chill out. You might be able to, you know, hang out on a piece of like sea otter fur and just kind of lay out and relax, or maybe even smudge with some sage and things like that. So
right on.
Yeah, it's just to us, I feel like it's just kind of a vibey place where people can just really chill. But still be in a festival atmosphere.
Now, do you imagine that other artists who are part of the festival will come and jam with you? Or are you also saying that people who are in the room, like, am I going to be able to get up and play with Bomuo?
Yeah, you want to come up and jam with us? Heck yeah. I mean, I think it's like, bring your voice, bring your drum, bring some, you know, whatever you want to do. Like, I think this is a space where it really feels like we're coming together as a community.
Yeah.
Because that's for us, like, I grew up in a community where people just jump up and dance, traditional dancing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to be part of the dance group or anything, but if you feel the need, you feel that urge, you can just jump up there and start jamming out.
Absolutely. Oh, that is so cool. So let me just mention this. So Thursday night, the jam happens at the JAC, the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And Thursday night from 7 to 9, that will be Witty Youngman. And then on Friday will be Bomuo. And then Saturday it will be Mark Brown. Right. Okay. So let's go back and talk about a little bit of, so the festival kicks off Thursday night. Well, technically it kicks off tomorrow for those who are lucky enough to have a VIP ticket, right?
Also, the free youth jam that's being sponsored by Gold Belt Heritage Foundation.
Oh, when is that?
So that's Wednesday, also tomorrow. Doors open at 5:30. You can go to Gold Belt Heritage's website or social media to register. It's open to youth 12 to 20 and their parents. And so it's completely free to the public. We're going to have Albino MB on there, Yatsine, DJ There's More, and then it's going to be hosted and emceed by Akumatu.
That is so cool, because I was going to ask a little bit about the youth and how we were getting them into the concert, because of course, you know, we know that it costs money to bring all these artists here and the tickets can be a little pricey, but to have access to something like this for the youth is really important. And so I think that's really great that y'all are doing that.
Exactly. And then we're also offering for ticketed adults, they can bring one child with them, 9 and under, to the three days of the regular music festival. So if you got a 9-year-old or younger, you can bring them along with you. No extra ticket needed for those kiddos. So bring
them
along.
That's cool.
And then for VIP ticket holders, they are allowed to bring a child in a VIP space if they're 2 and under.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, that's good. Bring the babies, have them rock out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta bring your earmuffs. Ear protection.
Bring your ear protection. That's cool. So let's talk about Thursday. Who's on Thursday? What's happening Thursday?
Mark Brown is kicking off the festival, which I think is going to be such a cool high energy show. So that's 4:30 at the EP Hall, followed by Akumatu, who I have not gotten to see in person.
Amazing.
I'm so excited.
So high energy.
Finding her on the internet, I was like, this is some stuff you've got going on. So I'm stoked for that. And then Albino, who is a repeat artist from the virtual festival. And we also brought him back for side stage. Clearly, the leadership team can't get enough of Albino Embe. So we keep bringing him back. So that's starting us off at EP. And then we jump over to Centennial Hall.
And who's at Centennial Hall?
Starting at 7 p.m., we have Air Jazz, followed by Samantha Crane, who's been heavily featured all over this year for quite a few TV shows and elsewhere, Kuik. And then our headliner is The Hallucination, formerly known as A Tribe Called Red.
Right, because they've been here before. They've been to Alaska before in their iteration as Tribe Called Red, right?
Yeah, I think in 2018, I believe, the Jack presented Hallucination. Oh, Tribe Called Red then.
Yeah, they were called that. Yeah, they were Tribe Called Red then. So let's take a quick break. What I want to do is play a person from that night, Thursday night. This is Samantha Crane, and this is a song called Oh Dear Lewis. We'll be right back here on Juno Afternoon talking about the Ock Rock Music Festival.
It was late in May and maybe it was June. Laying in the grassy sky in my room. And I was in charge of everything you told me I should be. Exercising, philosophizing, sober.
Right, here we are. That was Samantha Crane, and that was her song, Oh Dear Lewis. And we are just playing some jams from the Ock Rock Music Festival. We're talking about the schedule. So let's finish running down the schedule, and then we'll get to like tickets and how you get involved and all the different things. And you're probably still looking for volunteers, I would imagine. So let's talk about all that. So let's talk about Friday a little bit. We start again over at the EP Hall. Who's up on Friday?
Friday again starts at 4:30. Doors are at 4. And we've got I Sing You Dance. That's Byron Nikolai, who is like a Facebook phenomenon. Super excellent. And then, Kachung, you want to talk about this hip-hop cypher that we've thrown in?
Sure. Cypher, this is a term that allows for people to just kind of, what do you call that? Freestyle. Yeah. So we're going to ask folks from the audience to give our artists a topic, and each of them will take a section and basically do hip-hop, like, amazing verses and stories. So we have so many of our improv artists, like I Sing You Dance, Air Jazz, Defy, and Akhmatu all will be a part of that.
It's like a little improv jam session. That's a throw out a topic and they're just going to do a song. Yep. That's pretty cool. Okay. And then we finish out EP Hall that day on Friday with
Charlie Lowry, who is a stunning country folk singer, which will be such a fun. We are covering so many genres, and that's going to be a really fun transition between those two sets.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be fun about this is seeing all the different ways that music, you know, indigenous music and indigenous artists doing different styles of music, right? I think that's going to be so cool, from like rock to rap to country to improv. You know, I think that's going to be, that's what makes the festival so cool, right?
Yeah.
And then Friday night, Nefka, who do we have?
Yeah, we have Reza Garza, which has been, she's a phenomenal, stunning singer. She's been featured in several Netflix shows. Her single Red went really big about 2 years ago, addressing missing and murdered Indigenous people. Then we follow up with Chantel and the Dukes of Art, a jazz pop, and she's a little homegrown. She's Tsimshian and Supyak.
So yeah.
We're super excited to have her come back. She came with the Indigenous Big Band earlier this year. Black Belt Eagle Scout.
Love.
Be ready to be moved.
Love.
Like, my heart be still. Then we're going to go back to a little bit of hip hop with Defi, and then closing out the night with Yatsin.
Nice. That is so good. Okay. And then Saturday is like an all-day affair. Like that, you got to get prepped for this. You got to eat a big breakfast. And also, maybe have...
We're going to have a food truck.
We're going to have some food trucks. Right? Look at
Don't bring a snack. We've got it for you.
So Saturday, tell us a little bit about Saturday afternoon, Taylor.
Saturday starts earlier. So doors will open at EP at 2 p.m. And then Daniel Furman is performing. He's rounded up a whole band of folks. Some of his OG band members from Fairbanks are coming down.
Oh, nice.
So he's going to fill up that stage. And then Damas, who is so wonderful. Damas is one of our Canadian artists who we got to meet at the Western Arts Alliance conference last year through the Advancing Indigenous Performance group. So Damas is coming over, and then Witty Youngman, who's performed in Juneau a handful of times and was a part of our virtual festival, followed by H3, who I have never seen, but I feel like everyone who's not from Southeast Alaska knows and loves H3. They're a reggae band.
Oh, yes. Can't wait for that.
Yep.
Okay. And then we close out Saturday night, Nefka, with who?
Yeah, we're going to be kicking off the EP haul with Ashley Young. She is a Thlinkit artist coming down from Anchorage. Then we go with Quinn Christofferson, who is an Athabascan singer-songwriter. He won the Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah, the NPR Tiny Desk thing.
Exactly.
He was here in Juneau a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, he was. And then we have Pure Faye and Corey Morin. And then maybe this little band you've heard of called Bamua.
Don't know them.
I know. Who knows?
Still on the fence about that one.
They're awesome, yeah.
And then the last performance of all of Ock Rock 2023 is Snotty Nose Rez Kids.
Oh, my God.
I cannot wait to see in such an intimate space. They sell out stadiums of thousands and thousands of people.
I think they're going to blow the roof off this new Centennial Hall. Yeah, that's exactly what I think is going to, especially after following Bamua. Like, it's just going to be, that's going to be a wild Saturday night. Yeah, that night is going to be pretty great. Okay, that is so much festival. So let's talk a little bit about how we get access to this festival. How do we get tickets? I know there's some new pricing available. Nefka, do you want to run it down for us a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So like you said, this is a huge festival. There's 24 acts. And to see all 24 of them, because none of them overlap, it's going to be $150 for all 3 days. Or you can buy day passes, which is $75 each. But really, you're getting a whole day free if you just do a 3-day pass.
Yeah.
And we just recently released student price tickets. So each day will be $50 for a daily pass for students of all ages, college or high school. Or they can buy a 3-day pass for $100. If you have a friend you want to rock out with all weekend, you can still buy a killer deal, which is 2 tickets for $250, saving you and a friend $75. And we are completely, and have been for months, sold out of the VIP tickets. So those are your options for coming on by. And we do still need volunteers. You work 3 3-hour shifts or 1 full-day shift, and you'll get a festival pass for all 3 days.
Oh, that's great. And who do they contact for volunteers?
There is a form on our website. Please do that. But you can also reach out to me, Nashka Kuge.
Okay, great. And your email is on the website as well.
It is. And it's just easier to go to the website and hit contact me than me trying to spell it out right here.
Right. Yeah. Ockrockfest.com is the website for that. And I do want to mention that $150 for 3 days of festival, it seems like a bargain to me. Like, because when I go to like a normal concert, at one concert, might cost me 40, 50, 60. I've paid like $80 for one concert before.
I've paid hundreds.
Yeah. So this seems like a really good, at first it feels like, oh my God, $150. But then you start thinking about how many acts, how much does that break down to like each day?
$6.25.
Oh, you've done the math.
per act. That's how much it would cost if you paid $150 for all three and saw all 24 acts. $6.25.
Yeah. And you're supporting an Indigenous music festival, which I think is amazing. Now, I do want to ask this question. Is it possible for you, each of you, to pick the most exciting element of what's about to happen this week?
Oh, no.
Let's start over here with Katrina. I'll put him on the spot. Okay.
Most exciting element?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think...
One of, right?
I would say the jams.
Okay.
Just the opportunity to just have that really beautiful, organic experience with the artists.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What about you, Derek?
Mine is actually kind of just overall for people to experience in person what I got to experience on the first year being here, and just the excellence of the production and delivery of this festival and everyone who works here. And yeah, I'm super excited for the general public to be able to experience that and see that firsthand and not just on a screen.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And I know, full disclosure, KTO did some video work for the team when it was in during the pandemic. And I think they're doing some video work for you again this year. Our video team does an excellent job. And, mm-hmm. and it was a great way to see the festival. Mm-hmm. But like you, Derek, I can't wait to do it in person, because mm-hmm. I was always like, I want to be there and also be there to help support the energy of the performers, who did a great job with nobody in the crowd. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine what it'll be like to feel the energy of the audience there. So Nefka Kuge, what about you? What's the most exciting element?
I think seeing everyone's joy. As somebody who's been really at the computer, the spreadsheets, the organizing, and not so much in the fun stuff like back of the house and tech, to be able to just stand in a corner and watch everybody's joy. These are some of my most favorite performers. I'm a huge fan of Indigenous music, have been for more years than I'll say on the radio right now. And I just want to see everyone's joy in being here together to uplift our Indigenous folks and to see our people to be on main stages and be a highlight for once.
Absolutely. That sounds great. And Taylor, what about you?
Yeah. I think this is the largest event that Juno has ever seen, the largest art event that Juno has ever seen. And working with the production staff, working with the three individuals sitting to my right, has been such a pleasure. And it is so fun this week to now all actually be in the same room and to not just be looking at spreadsheets, but to have a 20-minute meeting in the morning where we're like, here's what I'm working on. All right, good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're going to have our volunteer onboarding training and welcome 100 more people into the crew. We are doing something really cool and huge and important, and I'm excited to get to do that with the team, with the volunteers, and with the audience and the artists.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to mention this, and we mentioned it many times, but that this festival, it's the only Indigenous music festival in the U.S. And it's also important to point out that the leadership of this festival is Indigenous as well. And I hope that it's not too long before we see some, you know, some growing outside of, you know, elsewhere in the United States. And I'm just curious, like, because it feels like we should be seeing more of these festivals happening, right? And have you talked with any others about bringing something like this somewhere else in the U.S.?
Without a doubt. This has been, since we announced this a few years ago, this has created a buzz through the industry. You know, I've had the chance to go to, you know, and our team has had the chance to go to a few music, like, conferences.
Yeah.
We have made a buzz. This is making waves. We're being invited now to festivals because they want to know how we're doing our thing and who we're presenting. So that's one of the cool things about this as well, is like, we're giving a platform for potential artists to perform in other festivals around the world.
Yeah.
So, because they're looking at us, what we're doing, because it's like, oh, wow, this festival's happening. And it's something that's unprecedented right now. This lineup has never happened. Ever.
It's insane. It is. And it is so, really cool.
I mean,
cool.
30 years of me being in this scene, in this music industry, there's been nothing like this ever. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's such an accomplishment. I have such wonder in my heart for you all and how much hard work you've been putting into this, and the payoff is happening this week. And so that is really cool. Everyone go to aukrockfest.com and you can get your tickets. It's aakwrockfest.com. You can find out the whole schedule, all the information, all that good stuff. And hopefully tomorrow and also on Friday, we're going to have some more folks in here. Maybe we'll have some music. We'll get to hear some of the artists, and that'll be really, really fun. It's really going to take over Juno this week. So thank you all for coming in today. We're going to go out with a little bit of the Saturday night headliner, the Snotty Nose Res Kids, with their song Snotty Nose Res Kids. So Aukrock Fest.
Can play one.
There's one I can't play. I didn't. All right. Thanks so much, y'all.
You can
Yo, D. What up, though? Pass me a tissue. Yeah, I wish that I could go back through time and space to the land till where no one gave a damn about the snot on my face. Where all the snotty nose res kids you found at the bay couldn't even be phased but what you thought of their ways. Cause you know we feeling numbness when we're swimming in the dumpness. When the sun hit the sky, without a doubt we raised the ruckus. Butt naked out in public, but you know we don't care. We never cared about the tides. If it's hot up, they there. You could catch me on the beach, wet feet in my socks, or with wieners in my tackle box, fishing off the dock. And good God, I used to dread reeling in them bull heads. I pretend that they were sharks, and I never tell my friends, man, cause my imagination got me bullied by them older fellas. My mama told me they were jealous. You couldn't shoot my confidence, it's bulletproof, man. And I got mama to thank, man, she made me who I am.
We them snotty nose res kids lay out to play, that's every day. And everybody here knows my name. Oh, some things just never change. We be up to some no good things, back and forth like we're on the swings. Handling that playground bit. We them snotty nose res kids.
I've been running round the red, snot dripping off my nose. In an old pair of kicks and some hand-me-down clothes. And even back then I never had a lot of friends until the kids around the res were playing cowboys and Indians. They all wanted to be cowboys, but I'm a native and I'm proud of it. Me and all my cousins facing everyday struggles. Like I told this girl I liked her and she kicked me in the stomach. I get it. She was raised around her brother, and the only thing tougher than her brother was her mother. I was only 7. I learned a valuable lesson. My mama told me that these girls could be my cousin. I said I wasn't doing none, I got a village to run. Cause my mama's favorite grandson ran with them village kids. Until my mama heard that my cousin stole her cigarettes. I think my brother told him, man, he's such a stupid idiot.
You need to calm down, mama, swear it wasn't me.
She beat my ass dumb, but I could take it. I was young, I was raised by my res, man. You know where I'm from, and when the snot hits my lip, I still lick it with my tongue, cause
we them snotty nose res kids lay out to play. That's every day, and everybody here knows my name. Oh, some things just never change. We be up to some no good things, back and forth like we're on the swings, handling that playground biz. We them snotty nose res kids.
Yo, let's take it back. All of mom and days were here. When you switch from socks to boxes for your underwear, out and about until the night sky was crystal clear. Can't wake up the mama bear, so we creeping up the stairs, hella scared. Cause she gotta get up and grind early, sneaking around the house with the homies just to cook pierogies. With peach fuzz up on my lip and my hair curly, my only worry was to get my shy ass to talk to girlies. Slowly but surely, man, it's where it all began. I ain't even have a celly yet, thank God for MSN. All I needed was some good dialogue connection.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Scientist and storyteller Skylar Bear, along with a colleague, recently published the book Uncharted. It highlights the experiences of scientists who have faced challenges to their careers, including both successes and challenges because of their health. This Thursday, she will be reading and signing at Hearthside Books. In addition, Skylar is now on the board of Mudrooms and will be teaching a workshop about storytelling soon. Gunashish, Skylar, and welcome back to the show.
Gunashish, Boston.
It's so good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy summer, but I'm glad that I can see you at the end of it as well.
Yeah, I think we had you back in like early July or mid-July or something, and your book hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But now it's out. I'm holding a copy in my hand, and it came out last month. The full title is Uncharted: How Scientists Navigate Their Own Health Research and Experiences of Bias. Tell us a little bit about this book and how it came about.
Yeah. So this book, I think, is probably 5 years in the making. When Gabby and I first got together, we both told stories for the nonprofit, The Story Collider, which is dedicated to telling personal stories about science and humanizing science, because science is for everyone. And a friend of ours had said, you know, you both have these stories about dealing with medical conditions or disabilities while doing fieldwork as scientists. Maybe you guys should get together and do something. And so we did. And we're like, well, we want to hear from lots of people. Maybe we could do a book or something. And we didn't know how to make a book, but we learned how and recruited. You know, we have over 30 different scientists other than the two of us, Gabby and I, sharing stories. And we got Columbia University Press to sign on. So we had the real academic publisher, which was really exciting. We had to write a whole proposal. You know, it's been peer reviewed. We got funding to pay all of our contributors, which is not that common, but we felt really strongly about it. And we even got extra money to get an illustrator. So there are illustrations of all the authors or something that represents their story in the book as well. And because we want people to read this in book groups or with their students in classrooms, there's a whole set of discussion questions in the back of the book that can really help lead the way with that. So that's a lot of what's going on in that book. And I think one final piece that was really important to us is how we decided on a theme. So Uncharted is the name of the book because a chart is something you use in navigation and in science and in health records.
Mm.
And so Uncharted means to be like off the map or not accounted for in scientific data, or an anomaly in healthcare. And so when you have a disability or a disease of some kind in healthcare and you're not getting the answers or help you need, it can be really frustrating. So we crafted the book with this nautical theme of being, you know, sort of like on a ship on this uncharted journey.
I love it.
Yeah. And so we have six different sections, and like the first one is getting underway. The second one is between the devil and the deep blue sea. The third one is rallying the shipmates. And then we have like in the center of the maelstrom means storm, reflections in the water, which is a more reflective section. And I am the captain of my ship, which is the final section. So
nice.
So the stories in each of those sections sort of reflect those themes or sentiments and somehow. So yeah,
that's cool. So the process of the book was interviews and people writing their story, and sort of then you as editors were sort of culling it down and figuring out what these themes were that packed them all together, the different stories, which sounds really cool, really fun, like an interesting project that took a while, it sounds like. And then the question I have is, did your interest in storytelling impact the way the book was constructed?
Yeah, so I've had a lot more experience, I think, with storytelling as sort of a medium than Gabby, since I've been a producer for the Story Collider on and off for a number of years now. And I've like helped coach people on how to craft stories, especially scientists. And so we actually didn't interview anyone. We asked them to write pitches, but then we would help them craft their own story with their own voice. So that was really important to us, that they had their own voice represented in this, and that we wanted to make sure that, you know, it had it had it was a good story, but it was also really representative of the person telling it.
Yeah.
And that was really important to us. So actually, the great thing about medium like a book is that there's a couple of variations of types of story. So like one is a letter from this author, Sammy, to her young cousin who also has ADHD like her and gives her advice on how to navigate the world. Another person had all these wonderful vignettes that when you stitch them all together, it tells a really important story. So there's some freedom in that with this anthology.
That's really cool. So tell us about this event that's happening on Thursday at Hearthside.
Yeah, I'm really excited that Hearthside Books decided they wanted to do an event with Uncharted. So Thursday at 7 p.m. at the downtown location, I'll be talking a bit more about Uncharted, reading from sections of it, answering questions and signing. And that's about it. So if people are able to come down and learn more about the book and get a copy, that'd be amazing.
And it starts, it's Thursday and it starts at 7.
Yep, 7 p.m.
That's great. And it's great because you're a local Junoite. I know you moved here a little while ago now, but it's nice that we have a published author. We have so many lovely authors here in Juneau. It's really great to see that happening. So now I also want to ask you about Mudrooms. Mm-hmm. You're on the board there now because you have this sort of fun intersection of science and storytelling, and you've brought those together. And I know you've had different events in the past, like you were talking about the Story Collider, where you've worked with them before. So you're going to bring some of that now to Mudrooms, right?
Yeah. So because I've been producing with the Story Collider on and off for a while now, and also because I was a college professor for a couple of years and taught a science communication course. I have experience with helping coach and teach people through workshops on how to construct good stories, how to have their own voice in it, right? Because no one else knows your story but you.
Right.
Sometimes you just need help finding out what it is. And so we're going to be doing a workshop on October 15th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Northern Lights Church. Kristen Rankin and I, we already had a couple people sign up, but it's going to be really fun. I think if you're interested at all in telling a story, you should come. We'll help facilitate that brainstorming that you need to do to find it and try to find your beginning, middle, and end of your stories.
Absolutely. And that's a free workshop, right?
Yes, absolutely free.
It's October 15th from 3 to 5 p.m. It's free. And just to remind people what Mudrooms is, because it took a little break during the pandemic, but it's 7 stories, 7 minutes, $7. It happens every month and it's back now. And so it's just something to be looking into. And you can go to mudrooms.org to find out all about that. Also on September 25th, I just want to mention there'll be a rebroadcast of the September version of Mudrooms on KTO at 7 p.m. on September 25th. That's a Monday. Mudrooms.org. It shows you all the different topics coming up, all the different things that are happening. You can sign up to be a storyteller and you don't have to have any experience.
Nope.
But you can sign up and then for like December or something and then go to Skylar's workshop on October 15th and learn a little bit about how to craft your story.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're hoping is that with these workshops, because we're hoping to do more than one this season, we will help you get ready to tell your story and then you can come to Mudrooms. And if you're interested in telling for Mudrooms, you can get storytelling coaching too.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a pitch and that's without going to a workshop or anything, there's always offers to help coach. But if you've gone to a workshop, you feel like you have a pretty solid idea and get a little bit extra help with coaching, you'll feel pretty good about going up on stage.
And all the Mudrooms, all that $7 that you pay to go see Mudrooms is all done as fundraisers for various different groups. So Skylar Bear event on Thursday at Hearthside Books, signing her new book, Uncharted, How Scientists Navigate Their Own Health Research and Experiences of Bias. It's awesome. Show up there. You can learn more about Skylar at skylarbear.wordpress.com. That's skylarbayer.wordpress.com. Thanks for coming in, Skylar.
Thanks, Boston. I really appreciate it.
Gunath Cheesh. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, more Awk Rock musical goodness, plus Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship presents a public presentation, and we'll find out about the 13th annual Friends of the Poor Walk from St. Vincent de Paul's. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Have a glorious evening, everyone.